This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس صدق الله العظيم. Respected Asatizai Kiram, Ulamai Kiram, dear friends, elders and my beloved students, the coronavirus has been the headlines of the newspapers. It has been a topic of discussion on the media pages, media desk. It has been a topic of discussion in our gatherings, in our masajid and so on. The schools have been shut down, the madrasas have been closed, the airports have been shut down, and it has affected so many countries. Till date, the statistics are such that 210,000 people around the world have been tested positive, of which 86,000 people, alhamdulillah, have recovered. 8,000 people passed away, and 7,000 people are in a serious condition. The reason why I am mentioning these statistics in front of you, it is not to scare you, it is not to create a panicking moment, but as believers, as a Muslim, a person is supposed to be aware of what is happening around him. A believer is supposed to be proactive. He's supposed to be constructive regarding a problem which is knocking the door and look for the solution way before the time. I know it has been overwhelming listening to the same issue since last week in the news, in the WhatsApp groups, on the Facebook page. The same story has been going on. But today we will be talking about it from an Islamic perspective. What does Islam say regarding this? But before we go ahead, I would like to inform that this virus has the potential of being pandemic. Now, what is the difference between epidemic and pandemic? Epidemic is a virus when it starts spreading within the community and it stops. It is under control. But a pandemic is a virus which starts spreading from the community. It goes national. It spreads in the whole country. And sometimes it even goes international. It spreads in the different countries. It goes in the whole world. And this disease, this corona, is a pandemic. It has affected so many countries. But this is not the first time. This is not the first of its kind. One of the worst virus which has been placed in record in the history is the Spanish flu, which took place in 1918, and it took the lives of 30 million people around the globe. 30 million people died in that flu. And even in our Islamic history, there is an incident of this kind. At the time of Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a plague took place in which 30,000 people died. 30,000 people. And so many of them were Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala anhu majmain. So this is not something new. It has happened in the past. What we are going to do is that we are going to look at these incidents from the past, extract lessons from it, and implement it into the situation at our hand, into the challenge at our hand. The first lesson which we get to learn from these incidents is that in this life, anything can happen in a short period of time. The question is, are you ready to face the unexpected circumstances and challenges which come knocking your doors? Or are you someone who's so comfortable with the way of life that he can't manage to deal with the situation at hand? That is the first lesson we get to learn. And look at what Abu Shurayh, one of the greatest scholars from the past, used to say whenever he was afflicted with a calamity. He used to say that whenever I'm afflicted with a calamity, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for four reasons. The first reason why I praise Allah is that it could have been worse than what it is right now. Imagine right now 86,000 people have recovered from this virus and 8,000 people have died. What if it was the vice versa? 86,000 people dying and 8,000 recovering. The situation would have been worse, right? So that is the first reason why we should praise Allah, that the situation can be more worse than this but it's not it. The second reason why Abu Shuraih used to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the moment of calamity, he says, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the ability to deal with it, to bear it. We are Muslims, we are believers, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of disease, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives cure for that disease. That is the second reason why we should praise Allah in this calamity. The third reason why we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what Hazrat Abu Shuraih rahmatullahi alayhi says, that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ability to me of making dua, of supplicating to Him regarding uplifting the calamity, we can do the same. We can pray to Allah, we can talk to Allah, and Allah ta'ala can listen to our du'as. And the best part is, when you do that, you might even be rewarded for that. The fourth reason Abu Shuraih mentions is that I thank Allah in the moment of calamity because it does not affect my deen, it does not affect my religion. And this was one of the dua which used to be made by the pious people. La taj'al musibatana fi deenina. Allah, don't let our calamity harm our religion or our deen. So that is the first lesson we learn. Anything can happen in this life in a short period of time. And as believers, we are supposed to be prepared to face any challenge in our lives. The second lesson which we learn from this incident is that this life which we are living in right now, it is impermanent. It is a temporary enjoyment. And that is what Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ. That this life is nothing but an amusement and a temporary enjoyment. What is this life? This space between one breathing to another. When you breathe once, if you make it to another one, you are alive. If you don't make it to another one, you are no more in this world. Look at how Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who was asked by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that, oh Abu Bakr, what is your expectation with life? What do you say regarding death? So that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who said that, O Prophet Muhammad, when I perform my one salah, I do not know if I will make it to the next salah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, O Abu Bakr, you have so much confidence in your life. You have so much great expectations of your life. Myself, when I'm performing salah, when I make one salam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, I do not know if I will make it to the next salah. That is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us regarding life. And we shouldn't panic. We should understand the eternal life is the life of year after. Coming to the third lesson, or rather a point which we need to talk about, more importantly, because people have been asking, texting that, Maulana, is this a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This virus, is it a punishment or a sign of punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does Islam say regarding it? Especially when we know that the Uyghur Muslims, the Muslims in China, were a target of oppression by the Chinese authority. So can this be a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So what we have to understand is that we neither have the authority nor do we have the ability to judge someone. That is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment we start giving an individual opinion in this matter, we are trying to claim that we have access to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah knows why this virus has come. As a blessing or as a punishment, it is only Allah alone who knows about it. However, what we have to ponder upon is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes calamities like this can come in the form of punishment, like how Allah mentions in the Holy Quran, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. We inflicted them with a lighter punishment before the major punishment of the year after. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that they can return to me. Or sometimes it can come as a blessing. Look at the time of Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in. There was a plague. 30,000 people died. So many great Sahaba died. Can we say that that was a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Sahaba? We cannot. So it is only Allah who knows if it is a punishment or a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there is one reasonable question which we can put forward, or which we can speak about, is that why is it when the Uyghur Muslims were being oppressed, they only received a fraction of media coverage compared to the people who are afflicted in this virus? Is it because now it is hitting our doors? Is it because the Muslims and the non-Muslims, both of them will be afflicted in this calamity? Is it because the rich and the poor, everyone will be afflicted in this calamity? That is the only reasonable question we can put forward. So these are the three lessons which we can understand from the incidents of the past and which we have to implement right now into our lives. Now talking about the plague, which took place at this time of Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. How did the Sahaba deal with it? How did they react to that virus which spread in them? You know, when the virus started spreading in Syria, Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was actually traveling towards Syria. He was outside. So when he received the news, he sat with all the Sahaba in order to discuss on what to do, whether he should enter or he should stay out. Now what happened is that all the Sahaba gave opinion, but it wasn't a satisfying opinion. So Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was actually even frustrated. And he started going. When he started going, Hadrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu came. That, "Oh Umar, I heard the Prophet of Allah saying, when a plague has to break out in a place, then the person who is in that plague should not leave that place. He shouldn't go somewhere else. And the person who's not into that plague, who's outside, he shouldn't enter into that place." That is what Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to go back. When he started going, Hadrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him that, "Oh Umar, are you flying from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" So Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, I am flying from one will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to another will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." What he meant was that this plague, it is a will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other places which have not been affected, it is a will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I am flying to that place, I am going to that place. Later on, Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who wrote a letter to Hadrat Abu Ubaidah, because Hadrat Abu Ubaidah was an important asset to the Summa. So he wrote a letter that, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, leave the place and come back." Hadrat Abu Ubaidah replied that, "No, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has refused. I cannot leave this place." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a plague has to break out, he shouldn't leave that place. But Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who wrote another letter, that, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, go and climb into a safe area, go on to a higher place, in a more fresh air, so there is no contaminated air, and you are safe, you can heal quickly." But it was too late for Hadrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was already in his last moments. This is how Hadrat Abu Ubaidah dealt with the situation. This is how Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu dealt with the situation. Hadrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also in this plague. Now the good part is that way before that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given a glad tiding that there was going to be a plague in Syria, and whoever is inflicted and affected with that plague and he has to die as a believer in that plague, then he is going to die the death of a martyr, of a shaheed. So that Mu'adh was also in this plague. When he saw the sign of the plague on his finger, he actually kissed his finger and he said that, "Oh plague, you are more beloved to me than this world and whatever it contains." Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the person who dies in this plague as a believer is going to die the death of a martyr. That is how the Sahaba dealt with this situation. Now all these stories and all these incidents of Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in, we have to learn from their lives. We can see all the restrictions, the rules, the regulations, the guidelines which are being laid out by the government and by the masjid authorities, masjid committee members. It's not something new. They are actually following what was done at the time of Sahaba, what was done at the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, this is proper quarantine, where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that you shouldn't go out if you are affected and you shouldn't come in if you are not affected. That is what quarantine is about. And that is what the authorities, the government of all the countries are telling us. That is what they are telling us. That is what our masjid committee members are telling us. Let us obey them. Let us try and understand them. It is only for our good. Let us be cooperative with them. You know, the masjid toilets and the wudu khana. Most of the masajid, they have closed the toilets and the wudu khana. What is the reason? What is the reason? It is because these are the places where the disease are multiplied. And these are the places where the air is contaminated. I mean, look at Hadrat Umar. What did he tell Hadrat Abu Ubaidah? That, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, go on a higher place where you have a fresh air. The air is not contaminated." Now who guarantees that the air in our toilet is not contaminated? You should enter after Fajr Salah. You will understand that. You understand? So that is what our masjid committee members are telling us, and we are supposed to obey. We are supposed to obey the authorities. Now, in conclusion, I would like to give you the solution to this problem, which the WHO, the World Health Organization, spoke about. They said, and this is not something new, they said that we should wash our hands thoroughly and constantly. In other words, we should perform our 5 times salah and make wudu before salah. A person will be making salah, inshallah, he'll be making wudu. We should wash our hands before eating and after eating. This is again the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they said that we should cover our face. We should put a mask when sneezing or coughing. That is another sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sneeze, he would cover his face with his hand. That is another directive given to us by the World Health Organization. So let us try and obey them. And one last thing which they say is that we shouldn't go into contaminated areas. And I already told you about the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, when a person is affected, he shouldn't go out. He shouldn't go and start meeting other people. On the other hand, a person is not affected, he should stay away from such places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant cure to all those people who are afflicted with this calamity. We stand in solidarity with all these people who are afflicted in this calamity. The people in China, the people in Italy, the people in Zambia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for everyone. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.